Wonderful, husband. All right, Kevin, you can start with the video. I have a multimedia presentation today.
The Bible says, my king, he's the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the fried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king.
Yeah, just that would be enough, but I'm going to try to expand. I'm going to be talking about the Prince of Peace, our King, today. I know, it's exciting. There's a passage in Isaiah, you can switch to the PowerPoint, Kev. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace." Do you know the Prince of Peace? Sometimes, some days. Are you someone that's always peaceful? Never get anxious? No, because if you said yes, I think I would ask you to write a book and sell it because you'd make a lot of money. Everyone is trying to find a way to, you know, live in, have that inner peace that everyone longs for, and it's only in Jesus. When I first met born-again Christians, I grew up in Quebec, most of you know, and it's a Catholic province, and some people are Catholic and don't even believe in God. I don't know how you can reconcile that, but and when I first met this couple, I ended up getting saved through them, but what first attracted me was the peace they had was just incredible, and that's what I had been longing for. I was 18 years old, and I just saw them. I just remember, like, just this time where I was at their house, and I was just sitting at the table with them, and they were just chatting, but, like, they were so peaceful. And, you know, in my house, like, everything was always stress and, oh, just getting stuff ready for the next thing, and there was just so much anxiety and everything, having to get stuff done, and there was never that, like, you know, peace and quiet of just enjoying life. And the other thing with me is that I was really worried about where I was going when I die, because I grew up as Catholic. I thought that you had to do a certain amount of good things to make it to heaven, and, you know, you never know if you did enough, and if how much the bad things count for, and how much the good things count for, and you try to count your points. You know, I was like, I just was always so afraid of the afterlife, and just when I'd stop in all my stress of, you know, what my family lived. When I try to stop and think of the deeper things in life, I just get so anxious. I couldn't handle deep conversations or anything because I was just so scared. Anyways, so when I met them, I was like, they have that peace. I gotta find out where it comes from. And so I asked them if I could start going to church with them, and that's how I got saved. That's the peace I saw in them attracted me to God. So I want to talk about that attribute of God today, the Prince of Peace. And you might be wondering why I showed this video. You'll understand later. So the first thing about peace is the ministry of reconciliation. Sorry. Oh, is this not working? Okay. Okay. So that means before we're saved, before we become a follower of Jesus, we're at war with God, basically, because there's only two sides. You know, there's the bad side or the good side. So before we get saved, we're against God, so we're not at peace with God. And through Jesus, we come to peace. So that's the first step to get to that inner peace. But then there's deeper. You can go to the next. When Jesus was talking to his disciples before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, or let it be fearful." Now, this passage is so, so, so packed. He says here, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you, not as the world gives." I don't know what you think about when you think of peace. I know sometimes we'd like peace to mean that we don't have any trouble in life, and, you know, everything goes smooth and no trials and everything just goes fine. But I don't think that's what he was talking about, just because of other verses we'll read later. He's really talking about that inner peace, that peace that you can have inside in the midst of all the stuff that goes on in our lives. Oh, can you go back to the other one before? Yeah. Oh, it jumps? Okay. Okay. And the other thing I really like about this verse, it says, do not let your heart be troubled. So it's up to us to keep that peace or to let it go. Because if you let your heart be troubled, then that peace, you're not in touch with that peace anymore. And you get into all kinds of anxiety and believing lies about life and about God eventually. And I'm telling you, having that peace, holding on to that peace and not let your heart be troubled is very, very crucial to your relationship with God. How many of you have ever gotten like anxious and stressed out about circumstances in life and you didn't feel close to God at that moment? Why does it do that? Because basically, when you choose to let your heart be troubled and fearful, you're not in agreement with what God says. You're not believing His promises. You don't trust Him. So you're not in that place of, God, I know who You are, and I believe that what You say You're going to do, You will do. I believe that You are good. You know, you don't believe all those things when you're choosing to let your heart be troubled and being stressed out and anxious about stuff. So it's really a matter of aligning your heart with the truth. But let's keep going. The definition of inner peace from a Bible dictionary, when I looked into all the words that are used for peace, shalom in the Hebrew, most of you will know, but I was really surprised that it means wholeness and rest. And it just reminded me of, be still and know that I am God. In the Psalms, that rest, that place of rest. Be still and know that I'm God. So I just see myself like in one of those circumstances where, let's take a Christmas one, where you're shopping and you're spending all this money and you're not really sure if you can afford it. And how are you going to pay your next bills? And your heart just starts racing, and all of a sudden, the peace is gone. And God says, be still and know that I am God. That's why I showed that video, because it's basically when you're in that place of knowing who God is and believing it in your heart, that the peace is there. It's when you're not in agreement with that, that the peace goes, when you let your heart be troubled because you're not sure if God's going to end up providing for your next bill, or you're not totally sure that He's going to work out that relationship that really stresses you out. Or, you know, it can be anything. I'm sure you guys can think of examples in your life. But really, when you think of it, it's simply a lack of trust, a lack of faith in who God is and what He says He will do. But it's all through relationship that the trust goes deeper. I love Isaiah 26:3. I lost my PowerPoint, but if you have your Bible, you can turn to Isaiah 26:3. It says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. That perfectly describes what I'm trying to say. It says that God will keep in perfect peace all who trust in Him and all whose thoughts are fixed on Him. Are your thoughts fixed on Him? I know that when I choose to let my heart be troubled, my thoughts are not really fixed on Him. It's fixed on the problem, on the circumstance, or anything else that troubles me. But when your thoughts are fixed on Him, really, what can shake your peace when your thoughts are fixed on God? There's nothing to worry about when you think of Him as how He's described in that video I showed. And all those things are from the Bible. It's the truth. When your thoughts are fixed on who he is, he's Jehovah Shalom, he's Jehovah Jireh, the 12 names of God. When you fix your thoughts on all his promises for your life, there's nothing to worry about. Nothing. I think we need to renew our minds. Romans 12, can't remember what verse it is, but it's in the first paragraph. In Romans 12, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but let be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think sometimes, I think a lot of times, we're conformed to the pattern of this world. What is the pattern of this world? Fear. You got to take care of yourself. You got to take care of your stuff. You got to plan ahead and all those things. So when in following God, we end up not really, I know sometimes we end up, Jay and I, doing silly things financially in the world's view. And God just says, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. And we're like, but God, like, this is so unwise. You don't give the money you need for your mortgage. Like, that doesn't work that way. But God, when God says, trust me, who do you choose? And I know, because I've done it in the past, if you choose the wise way, you end up being really stressed out, because then you're saying to God, I trust the way I do things. I don't really trust that you will take care of me if I do this, because it seems unwise. It's so silly when you think of it. In Isaiah 55, it says, his thoughts are higher than ours. His ways, so much higher. And we can't always understand the way he does things. That's where faith comes. We have to choose to trust. What do you spend time thinking about? What do you meditate on? Like when you go to bed at night, you close your eyes, like are you thinking about, oh, I gotta do this and this and that tomorrow, and I gotta all your to-do list all the time? Or do you ever spend time just meditating on who God is and how he's going to be taking care of you and how he's going to love you through every circumstances in your life and just carry you through? Because it's up to us to not let our hearts be troubled and fix our thoughts on him. If you think of the verse that we read earlier in John, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. That was in John 14:27. And further, in John again, when he's talking to his disciples again before the garden, he says, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. See, that peace, Jesus seems to be talking a lot about it. And in just doing my study last night as well, I noticed that he always tells people, peace be with you, go in peace. And I'm like, wow, he talks about peace a lot more than I thought. So this is really important. So I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. I remember the first time we watched the Gospel of John movie in theater when it first came out. Jay and I were just weeping in the theater during the chapter 14, 15, 16, when he talks to his disciples about peace, and even though there's going to be trials, there's going to be hard times, because we were having a really hard time at that point. And then when he says, take heart because I've overcome the world, it was like, whoa. Peace just invaded us at that moment. It was like so surreal, right? It was like we were not in the theater anymore. Take heart, for I've overcome the world. We know the ending. He wins. That means we win. With promises like Romans 8:28, where it says, He works out all things for the good of those who love him. All things. All things. That includes the smallest worry in your daily life to the biggest one. All things. He works out all things for the good of those who love him. When you think of that, like, where's the room for worry? It's amazing. I just love in Matthew 6 when Jesus talks about worry, that part of the chapter is called Do Not Worry. And he says, does any of you can add 1 hour to your life by worrying? You know, he's saying like, come on, guys. Does it actually do something? No, but it makes me feel like I'm doing something. Be still and know that he is God. That's doing something a lot more efficient than worrying. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And when I was just reading last night, I just kept hearing God talk to me about everything when it says pray about everything, because prayer really is talking to God, right? And God was like, talk to me about everything. As the verse goes on to say, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. This fall, I think it was in September, I know my examples are a lot about finances, but that's the stressful thing in my life, so that's my examples. For you, it might be something else, it might be relationships or work or something else. But in September, Jay lost his job, and so he got an unexpected 2 weeks vacation, which was really nice. We were happy to have daddy at home. But I kept thinking, I should be worried right now. Like, I should be really shaking in my boots because I have no clue how we're going to be paying our bills. Like, I can't even work something out in my head. I can't even work out a budget. No matter how much I count, it's not going to happen. And I was just not worried. I was just like, I should be worried. Why am I not worried? But I just had so much peace that this was God's gift to us, that Jay was spending time with us. And, we had a hard year. There's times he worked several jobs and we didn't see much of him. So, and he didn't have vacations for 2 years. So it's really, really nice. And I was just really happy. And God was like, what's so hard about trusting me? Like, what's the stretch? Like, if you think of who I am and how much I've provided in the past, will I not do it again? And in Matthew 6, you know, sometimes we kind of grow tired, but we hear that passage a lot where it talks about how he takes care of the birds and the flowers and how much more he will take care of us. But it's true. Think about it. He takes care of us. And I'm sure you can think back of all the ways in the past that God has taken care of you and has taken care of the things that were stressing you and the things that you were anxious about. And then something happens and you're like, oh, it's all taken care of. Why did I spend time worrying? I love the Psalms where David talks to his soul. And he's like, soul, be at rest in the Lord. And what psalm was it? Psalm 116. that was in the New Living Translation. It says, return to your rest, soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Like, go back there. Let's go back in our tracks here. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Sometimes we just need to tell ourselves that. Okay, stop. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. So it's in remembering God's goodness to us, and not only through things he's done in our lives, but simply by remembering the cross. It's okay. My PowerPoint didn't work out. Oh, well. I chose a really nice background, too. Oh, I'm kidding. Return to your rest, my soul. How many of you are ready to, like, be silly and talk to your soul that way? It's worth it. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. In remembering God's goodness, remembering, like I was saying, not only the things he's done in your life, but simply remembering the word of God. Like, it's a light unto our feet. It shines light on the darkness of our thoughts sometimes. And the darkness of our thoughts, it's not believing in God, in what God says he is and what he says he will do. It's not believing his promises. And the Bible shines light on that. So most of you that have heard me preach before, you would know that I love my messages to be a giant ministry time. And so I'm almost done, but I would really like us to actually, Mark, you can come up if you want. I would really like us to stand together and just let God minister to our hearts as a Prince of Peace. Do you believe in God's goodness? Yeah? Do you believe he has good plans for your life? Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Sometimes we know that in our head. Do we believe it in our hearts? You know, when the hardships come, sometimes we're like, God, like, are you trying to hurt me on purpose? He's not. But that's when the rubber hits the road, like, as we say. Do we really believe that he has good plans for your life? Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And just so you know, this doesn't come from me. It's from Jeremiah 29. There are so many promises in the Bible to bring us back to that place of peace and rest in God. The place where we can go through all the troubles in life and all the little things, the small and the big things that can sometimes shake us on the inside, but those promises can make that peace just stay there so that we will not be shaken. And that peace and that rest is not a gift that you can receive through impartation. It's up to you. It's up to you to trust God. It comes out of trust. It comes out of relationship. It comes in the trust that you have in your King, Jesus, that we saw in that video. The Prince of Peace. That's who he is. He is the Prince of Peace. He came to rescue you. He will never let you go. He will guide you and protect you and not let you go through more than you can bear. He will not let you go through more than you can bear. That's also a Bible promise. Be at rest, O my soul, for the Lord is good. Let's just sing that song together.